Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no remission of sin. And so I'm glad that Jesus paid the price for my sins and your sins. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I enjoy just God's people, enjoy getting the opportunities that God has given me to preach. I was in Ohio this week helping my dad on a roof that he decided he didn't want to stay on. And he fell off that roof and landed on his back. And we say that the Caldwell men are very durable. And he didn't break. So praise the Lord. Somebody said, no brain, no pain, right? And so when they did the CAT scan, they said he had no brain. And so that's why nothing broke. But no, it was God kept him safe. You know, but while I was there, I had the opportunity to preach. And I just love preaching the Word of God. When God's called you to do it, you don't get any greater enjoyment than preaching the Word of God. And there's nothing like the Bible. And listen, if you don't read it daily, you're missing out. You're missing out on a relationship and a fellowship with God that you can't ever imagine how wonderful and how sweet it is. One thing I don't like sometimes, though, in my flesh, Brother David, is when you have a message all prepared and everything ready to go and you think, okay, here we go, and then God says, nope. And then you sit there and you think, Lord, I spent this whole time studying this. He said, good for you. It's good for you. And don't worry, it wasn't an audible voice that was doing that, but he said, it's good for you. But he brought me back to a message that I had preached 2 years ago. And God knows what's best. And he knows what we need. And I know somebody here today needs this. I needed it. I needed a refreshing in it when I was reading it as well. But we'll be in Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12. I would invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God out of respect for His Word. Please, Daniel chapter number 12. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, and great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since the nation, even at the time, even that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some from everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Verse 4 is where we're going to have our text for today. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro," and look what it says, "and knowledge shall be increased." Knowledge shall be increased. When I thought of that word knowledge, I looked up the definition of it. It says the fact or condition of being aware of something. I want you to understand, God tells us that the only thing here on earth that we can boast about is found in Jeremiah chapter 9. And it said this, that we can glory in this, that you understand and know me. So the knowledge that we need to have, the only thing that on this earth that we can even boast about is that we know God. That we know God. And God gives us a book and shows us all the wisdom of God. He shows us everything we need to know here on this earth. And we know that we serve a God that is all-knowing, a God that there's nothing, nothing ever occurred to God. Okay, He knows what we're going through before we do, but I enjoy putting catchy titles on sermons because it wakes people up. And when I give you the title, some of you are going to want to walk out the back door and say, "This preacher's lost his mind," which that's evident. You guys already know that I lost my mind. I can't lose something I never had, okay? And so, but the title of the message today, though, I'm going to talk about not just the knowledge that we have, but some things that God shows in His Word. But I've entitled the message this morning, Four Things That God Doesn't Know. Four things God doesn't know. And you look at me like, and Josh gets ready to leave. He's like, what? Now listen, we already talked, God is all-knowing, okay? God is all-knowing. You say, well, what are you getting at? Stay awake, pay attention, and you'll get it afterwards, okay? Brother Dave Miller said, what did I get myself into in this church? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the time we have to get into your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that knows all. Lord, you know our circumstances. You know where we are. And God, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, you know the hairs on our head, Lord. You know, Lord, how many sands are on the seashores. Lord, you know everything. But God, I pray that you'll help this message to help someone today. Lord, that you'll help us to be aware of some things according to your word. And Lord, I'd like to ask you if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray they'll trust you today. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We're going to consider four things today that God doesn't know. And when I say that, most people, Brother Shane, they look at you sideways thinking, this independent Baptist preacher has just lost it. He has went off the deep end. But I'm sure by the time we're finished, you'll agree with me that there's four things that God doesn't know. It's really just a play on words, but we'll have a good time in the Word of God today. First thing I want you to see, take your Bibles, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Start in verse number 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh his with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Okay, I want you to see that. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually about thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. I want you to understand, firstly, the first thing that God doesn't know is God does not know a sin that he does not hate. God does not know a sin that he does not hate. I want you to understand, a holy God hates sin. He hates it. Proverbs 6, verse 16 said, these six things doth the Lord hate. And then he begins to go down through a list of them, and he lists some things as we look at them, and we think, well, I may not be doing some of them. The whole principle that he's trying to get at in this book of wisdom that we read in the book of Proverbs is that God hates sin. He hates sin. He has to hate sin. Why? Because he is incapable of sin. And sin cannot be in fellowship with God. And so God hates sin. Sin provokes God to wrath. Sin provokes him to wrath, and the first thing that God does not know is he does not know a sin that he doesn't hate. I'm so weary oftentimes as believers and Christians, we say, well, it was just a little lie. And we look at things and we start to say, we try to argue our way out of a little sin, thinking, well, it's not as bad as this. But the fact of the matter here today is it doesn't matter how big or how little you may think the sin is in your life, a holy God, the God of heaven, hates sin. He hates it. He hates it. And the problem is we have a lot of people in our churches and in our world today that claim to be born-again believers, that are adopted into the family of God, but they live in sin continually throughout their life, doing the things that the world wants them to do. We go through all of these things trying to please the world rather than please God, and God says he hates sin. He hates it. If you read Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned, God had to do something. God had to pronounce judgment upon sin. We talked about, Doug was talking about the judgment seat of Christ this morning. And then there's that great white throne judgment. You know why that great white throne judgment there, and people are going to be cast and thrown into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone? Not because God is a evil, vindictive type dictator who sits up in the sky waiting to zap you the first time you do something wrong. The reason that people are bound and cast into hell is not because God is an evil person. It's because God hates sin. God hates sin. Sin cast Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, if you would please, and look there. Romans chapter number 5. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon how many men? All. And as Brother Doug said this morning, what's all mean? All means all, and that's all means. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want you to understand, God hates sin so much that because the sin of one man, sin entered into the entire world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin in the garden, the Bible says, because of that sin, we were all condemned at that point in our life. Yeah. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, all of humanity was condemned. Because a holy God hates sin. I want you to picture this. As much as God hates sin, I wonder what it does to Him when His children openly do it. When His children walk around with a defiant heart, as it's my life, I can live it the way I want to live it. I can do what I want to do, God, because it's my life. May I remind you, the Bible says you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you're a believer in here today and you're living in sin, God hates that sin. He hates that lifestyle, and you need to get it right. Secondly, if you're here and you're lost, you're not on your way to heaven, understand this. God hates sin, and because He hates sin, one day you are going to be bound and cast into a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. You're going to be separated from God forever, not because God is wicked, not because God is evil. It's because God is holy, and God cannot be in the presence of sin. Has nothing to do with, well, God doesn't love me. No, God does love you. And that brings me to my second point. First thing is, God doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. Secondly, God does not know a sinner that He doesn't love. Amen. He doesn't know a sinner that He doesn't love. Understand, this holy God that I'm talking to you about today, friend, is a holy God that has to judge sin. He has to have punishment for sin. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Because God loves us, there's times of chastening in our life. In that time of sin, in that time of our basically just pushing God away because of sin, God still, through all of that, loves us. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The sin of man caused God to have to kick Adam and Eve out of the garden. It caused Cain to slay Abel. Sin caused God to destroy the world by water in the flood. All of that because He hates sin. There's not a sin that He doesn't hate. But God today, friend, let me tell you, God does not know a sinner that He doesn't love. If you're living a life of sin today, let me remind you, God loves you. God loves you. And God cares about you. Lost person here today, let me explain to you, God loves you. And because God loves you, guess what? God made a way for you to go to heaven. There is nothing that keeps wicked, sinful men out of hell except the love of God. There's nothing that will keep you out of hell except the love of God. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. Listen, if God would not have loved you, He would not have gave you anything to help you get out of that eternal place called hell. God has no desire to cast anyone into hell. I want you to take your Bibles and look at it in John chapter number 3. I believe John chapter 3, verse 16 is one of the most memorized verses in all of Scripture. But oftentimes we say in John 3, 16, we'll say that verse, but we forget the verse previous and the ones following. The verse preceding that says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why is he condemned? Here's why. It gives you the answer. Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, God does not have anybody, does not desire anyone to go to hell. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not just have a elect chosen few that get to come to heaven. It's a whosoever will gospel. Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I'm one of the whosoever, and I'm glad you're one of the whosoever. And today you need to understand that if you're lost in your sin today, there is a God that loves you and wants to save you from that. If you're a child of God and you're living in sin, God hates that sin, but God loves you enough to restore you back to the fold if you repent of it and ask God to forgive you of it. I'm glad He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has promised to all who believe in Jesus. God gave us a promise of eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. When God says it's everlasting, does that mean you lose it? Nope. Because if you could lose it, then guess what God would become? A liar. Then God would become a sinner. Then the blood that was shed on the cross had no value, no importance. But I'm here to tell you, God is holy, and God is just, and God is sinless. And God, when He came down and took upon the form of man through Jesus Christ, and He walked sinless upon this earth as our example, He did that for one reason and one reason only, because He loves you. Because He loves you. First thing God doesn't know is He doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. Second thing God doesn't know is God doesn't know a sinner that He doesn't love. Third thing that God does not know is God does not know a better plan of salvation than Jesus. Doesn't know a better way. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, there's no better way to get to heaven than Jesus. By the way, there is no other way to get to heaven. I don't care what Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, any of these other people out there trying to tell you, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't give enough in your thing to go to heaven. There's not many ways to God. There's one way to God. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of many ways. He didn't say I'm a way that you can come by. He said, no, I am the way. Amen. I'm the way. God in His infinite wisdom knew there was no better way to restore man from their sinful state back to the relationship and fellowship with an almighty God than to come through His precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that day that that blood was shed, that that paid what I had to pay. But I had to come through Jesus to get it. I had to come by Jesus' way. I couldn't just stand over here and say, well, God, I've been to church for 30 years. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Yeah. Well, God, you don't understand. I worked the bus route. I taught Sunday school class. He said, there's going to be many that prophesy in His name, that cast out devils in His name. And He's going to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Your works, friend, will not get you to heaven. Your merits are not going to add up enough. You're not going to be able to stand there and negotiate with God at the great white throne judgment and say, well, look, my good outweighs my bad, so I must be able to get there. Or I sacrificed enough, or I gave my life for Allah, or I did this, or I did that. None of that's going to get you to heaven. Except putting your faith and trust in Jesus. God doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. He doesn't know a sinner that He doesn't love. He doesn't know a better plan of salvation than Jesus. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm glad it's not a might be. I hope so. There have been several times, past couple weeks, knocked on doors, somebody's opened the door. I say, hey, my name is Pastor Caldwell from Tabernacle Baptist Church. We're out here today inviting people out for our service. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know you go to heaven? Well, I sure hope so. I'm glad 1 John 5:13 is in the Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's not a hope-so salvation. It's a no-so salvation. And I'm glad that when you come through Jesus Christ, understand, He said, you shall be saved. And then He's the one that does it. We're just by faith putting our faith and trust in the finished work. When He died on the cross, said, it is finished. He conquered. He went down, was buried, rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. He's able to offer life eternal because death has no power over Him. And if we put our faith and trust in Him, ask Him to be our Savior, He said, you shall be saved. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That shows what sin earned us. But the gift of God is eternal life. Again, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is it so important that these verses always say through Jesus Christ? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Because guess what? Without Jesus Christ, there was no payment for sin. Without Jesus Christ, there was no payment for sin. And you and I would be lost and on our way to devil's hell that was created for Satan and his fallen angels. But because of our rejection of the gift of Jesus Christ, we have to die and go there. You say, well, preacher, I didn't know. God brought you here today so you will know how you can go to heaven. But let me explain something to you. Nobody's ever going to have an excuse because the Bible says nature itself even declares that there's a God in heaven. Everybody knows there's a God. And by the way, there's no such thing as an atheist because everybody has a God. A God is what you worship. Some people, their God is money. Some people, their God is football. Some people, their God is someone of the opposite sex. Some people, their God is drugs or alcohol. But let me explain, none of that's going to fulfill you. None of it is. None of it's going to get you to heaven. None of it's going to fill that void that's in your life. Only Jesus can fill that. But God doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. We're all in agreement right there, right? God doesn't know that. Doesn't know a sin that He doesn't hate. Secondly, God doesn't know a sinner that He doesn't love. God loves you. He loves all of us. God doesn't know a better plan of salvation than Jesus. And lastly today, listen, God doesn't know a better time for you to be saved than right now. Not a better time than right now. Look at 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. Second Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse 1 and 2. We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, because, or behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, if you're here today and you're lost, you can't wait till tomorrow. You say, well, why not, preacher? Because you don't know that you have tomorrow. Yeah. Well, I'm just young. You don't know that. There's been many young people that their life has been gone. The Bible says life is a vapor. It's here for a while and vanisheth away. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. If I were to go through this auditorium and I were to say, that's okay, Satan don't like what's being preached. Don't worry about that. We'll just let somebody get saved today and just bust the devil in the eye. How about that? Amen. Understand something. Today is the day of salvation. You know why things like that happen? It's not her fault. Not her fault at all. Satan wants to stop somebody from being saved today. Satan wants to stop somebody from getting their life right with God today. Satan doesn't want that. Why? Because when you surrender your life to God through salvation, there's somebody else that he just lost. He's not your father anymore. You've been adopted into the family of God. But when somebody then surrenders and recommits their life to Christ, then there's another warrior that he's fighting against. And he doesn't like that. But today is the day of salvation. I want you to understand something. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you were joined together with Him. And He likens the church as the bride of Christ. And some of you that have been at this church for quite some time have heard me say this in the past. But every time Miss Lisa was mentioned, there was somebody who's using the name of the Lord in vain at her work. And we hear that all the time. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But I want you to see what it says here in verse 1 of chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Understand this. When we get saved, we become the bride of Christ. When I married that lady right there, she did something on that day. She took my name. So she is known as Lori Caldwell. If somebody were to call her by her maiden name, it would take her a moment. You know why? Because for the past 16 years, she's been known as Lori Caldwell. The day that we got saved, she, as the bride, became my wife, and she took my name upon herself. When you get saved, listen, you take the name of Jesus Christ with you everywhere you go. So when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, it's not just in the words that you say, friend, it's in the actions in which you live. Amen. That you can take his name in vain. Yeah. And he says this, today is the day of salvation. God does not know a better time for you, friend, than right now. Doesn't know a better time for you to be saved than right now. But guess what? He also doesn't know a better time of surrender than right now. Now is the time. Today, you need to get saved. God hates sin that dwells within us. But He loves us even through the sin. He's presented to you the only plan that will work, and He doesn't know a better time than right now for you to receive it. Four things God doesn't know. Remember, God knows all. But there's not a sin that God does not hate. There's not a sinner that God does not love. There's no other way to heaven but Jesus. And there's no better time than right now. Let me ask you this. Are you struggling with your salvation? Have you been wondering, well, Lord, if you just give me one more chance, listen, now's the time. Today is the day. Trust Him as your Savior. Satan doesn't want you to be saved, but God does. And God made a way through His Son Jesus Christ for you to go to heaven. And you got to trust Him today. But maybe you're saved. You're living in sin. God hates that sin. And that sin, though you won't lose your salvation because of that sin, you will break fellowship with your Father. And there's nothing worse than not being able to fellowship with God. Nothing worse than that. As a child of God, there's nothing worse than not being able to communicate with your Father. Listen, He's given you His Word to communicate with you. He gives us the tool of prayer to communicate with Him. But when we have sin in our life, there is a barrier between us and Him. But you know what? God loves you. And God's willing to receive you back. Brother Jason gave testimony that I can't believe all that has happened in our life, how God will still let me do things and still use me. You know why? Because the grace and the mercy of God is something wonderful. And God does it because God loves us. But there's no better way. But there is no other way than Jesus. You've got to come to Him. And He said, "He that cometh to Me, I'll in no wise cast him out." He's here for you today. Why don't you trust Him? Heads bowed.